folks. This is Pastor Mike Hoggard, pastor of Bethel Church in Festus, Missouri, and head of Prophetic Research Ministry with another Watchman video broadcast. Everyone remembers where they were September 11th, 2001. I remember where I was standing when I heard the news. Two planes flying into the World Trade Centers. Then we find out another one flying into the Pentagon. Then we find out another one was on its way probably to the White House, never made it. Flight 93 crashing in Pennsylvania. And since that time, it's been, 10 years? Since that time, there has been a number of conspiracy ideas. Something that big, something that monumental, something that got that many people's attention. And I really think it was intended as a paradigm shift, something that was burned in our memories and we'll never forget it. We'll never forget the scenes of that day. We'll never forget the buildings on fire, them crashing. We'll never forget those things as long as we live. Sort of like the day, if a lot of people might remember this, the day when John F. Kennedy was assassinated. People remember where they were when they heard the news that a president of the United States had been shot down. And we remember what happened September 11th, 2001. A lot of conspiracy ideas have been floating around. Did the buildings have explosive devices in them? Some engineers say no. Some engineers say yes. What about Building 7? Building 7 was never struck by any airplane, and yet about 5 o'clock in the evening on September 11th, 2001, all of a sudden everybody says, get away from Building 7, and here it goes. It comes crashing down. What happened to that? Some people say that it wasn't an airplane that was flying into the Pentagon, that it was a rocket or a missile of some kind, that airplane parts just didn't seem to be found in a whole lot of detail there at the Pentagon. And then, of course, some people are saying the same thing about Flight 93. It doesn't look like there was a lot of debris out in the field there. And then there was those who came up with this idea that there was some sort of pod on the bottom of, I think it was Flight 11 that flew into the World Trade Towers. Was it really Muslim extremists that was part of it? Did Osama bin Laden have anything to do with it? Where was George Bush? What was he doing on that day? And all of these conspiracy ideas, which, you know, sort of here again, we're going to make the equation here to JFK. Who shot JFK? Was it Oswald? Some say yes, some say it couldn't have been. Was Jack Ruby complicit in a conspiracy to cover up the shooting or the shooters or silence Oswald before he can talk? Some say yes, some say no. And there is a massive hodgepodge of conspiracy ideas, conspiracy theories, and It kind of takes some people, it just kind of makes them step back and say, you know, these conspiracy theories, I don't believe in them anyway, because a lot of them don't make any sense. We can't sort of wrap our head around some things that go on, and they don't believe in conspiracy ideas. They don't believe that there's a new world order coming. They don't believe in a lot of the things that people who promote conspiracy ideas believe in. Now, I won't call myself a conspiracy theorist, although there are some things I do have some conspiracy theories on. I like to think I'm a conspiracy factualist. I like to try to present the facts and give people a deeper and a greater understanding of just exactly what is going on. Now, I believe in the Scriptures. I believe the Holy Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, from the book of Genesis, which we're going to be dealing with today, all the way to the book of Revelation, which we're going to go there too. I believe that this is the Word of God, and that God, who wrote the Bible, is a God of prophecy. I believe that God, who is able to see all things and know all things, knows what is in the future of mankind. In fact, if you just want to think of it this way, God is so much a God of prophecy that the entire book of Revelation ends with a prophecy. In fact, it is a prophecy of the very last of all things. It is the new heaven and the new earth. And when we teach someone about salvation, we're teaching them things that are prophetic. We're telling them you can know where you're going to spend eternity. You can know this beyond any shadow of a doubt. You don't have to read Nostradamus. You don't have to discover your astrological chart. All you need to do is study and believe the Word of God. Believe what God said in the pages of the Bible. And so what I'm going to present to you today is basically the Bible's idea of what a conspiracy is. We mentioned JFK. Who was it that was responsible for shooting John F. Kennedy on that day, November the 22nd, 1963? Who was responsible for that? Some say the CIA, the KGB, the Cubans, the Mafia. It was Lyndon Johnson. There's even a conspiracy theory that says one of the Secret Service agents in the limousine turned around and shot Kennedy in the head. And everybody's got their theory, but was there a conspiracy on this day? If you believe in this idea of a lone gunman, I want you to remember that, of a lone gunman, then to you there is no conspiracy. But if there was one more person involved, that's the very nature of a conspiracy. What about when Ronald Reagan was shot on March the 30th, was there a conspiracy concerning that? We don't really know for sure, but there are some interesting details that on the day that Kennedy or that Reagan was shot, you never heard on CBS, NBC, ABC. You never heard some of the details concerning his being nearly assassinated on March 30th. Is there a group called the Illuminati? People talk about the Illuminati. They say George Bush, in fact, every president that's ever lived in most people's minds is in the Illuminati somehow, some way. Congressmen and CIA people and business leaders. And I believe in a group of human conspirators. But we're actually going to define what the word conspiracy means, and we're actually going to see it from the scriptures. You see, I believe that there is a conspiracy. I believe that there is something that's working right now to change what's going on in this world, to sort of change the future, as it were. God has already laid out the terms and dictated the ideas and the terms for what is going to be in the future. And it all ends up with God being on the throne. There's someone else that wants to sit on that throne. Someone else that wants to be on the throne. His name is Lucifer. He is, if God is up here, then Lucifer's down here. He is the opposite of God, and yet, and he was created, and yet he wants to be like God. So if you were to ask me if I believe in conspiracy theories, I believe in a conspiracy fact. And we're going to look at what is, I think, the basis and get some understanding, the basis of all conspiracy ideas. We have the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergs meet every year. We have the Trilateral Commission. We have the Freemasons. We have the Vatican. We have the New Age movement. We have all these different groups. Who's the one leading the charge here? A conspiracy. We're going to break down the word conspiracy for you here in a little bit. But the key point of the word conspiracy is that it has the word spirit in it. So let's go and understand the spiritual nature of conspiracy theories. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. The Bible describes a spirit by the name of Lucifer. Now I want to stop right here. Lucifer is the devil. He is the dragon. The Bible, the King James Bible, is giving you his personal name, the name that God gave to him. It means light bearer or the bearer of the light. And most witches and most Luciferians will agree that the name Lucifer is, I mean, that's the devil. All the occultists say that. The devil worshippers know who it is they're worshipping. Anton LaVey, who formed the First Church of Satan in San Francisco, California, he knew who Lucifer was. But for some reason, when you get into some of the newer Bibles, like the NIV, the Holman Standard Bible, the Message Bible, and some of the other modern translations, they have all taken the name Lucifer completely out of the text. Here's what they do. They actually, in this passage we're going to read out of Isaiah, they take the name Lucifer, take it out, and replace it with Morning Star. Now that to me is interesting because the Morning Star is described in the Bible and defined in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, as Jesus Christ, who is the Most High God. Now I want you to keep that in mind as we look at Isaiah chapter 14 in the King James Bible. We'll understand that it looks like there is a conspiracy even to change the name of the devil himself from Lucifer to the Morning Star, who Paul warned us was another Jesus. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? And so here we have a description of Lucifer falling from heaven. I want you to remember that. He has fallen from heaven. He's cut down to the ground. He is the one who has weakened the nations. He's weakened all of the peoples of the earth. He is the deceiver, the tempter. He is the accuser, the Bible calls him. He is the serpent who was in the Garden of Eden, deceiving and tempting and Eve and changing God's word to her, causing her to have a paradigm shift in her way of thinking. That's who Lucifer is. And then it says in Isaiah 14, verse 13, for thou hast said in thine heart. God is going to look into Lucifer's heart, and here's what he finds. Number one, I want you to notice the use of the phrase, I will. This is how Lucifer thinks. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And then he says seven words. I will be like the Most High. Now, we understand that Lucifer is a spirit. He is of the order of angels. The Bible refers to him in Ezekiel as the anointed cherub that covereth. And so we understand that Lucifer is a spirit being. He's an angel. We also know from Revelation 12 that there are other spirits that are sort of on his side, at least one third of the angels in heaven. Ephesians chapter 6 actually categorizes those devils, those fallen angels, those spirits as principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. So we have these orders and these groups of spirits, of these fallen angels that are working alongside of their master Lucifer, the anointed cherub, and there is a conspiracy going along. Now, I mentioned that word conspiracy. The literal interpretation of the word conspiracy is like winds that sort of blow together or whisper together. You have the word con, which means with, and the spira part of conspiracy implies breath or winds, or sort of like when you talk in a whisper that you're not using your voice, you're just using air to make sounds. That has, because if you stop and think about what a conspiracy is, you have people meeting how in secret, and they're using a low voice and they're whispering to trade secrets back and forth. That's how they talk. By the way, that's how the Bible describes familiar spirits is how they talk. They speak in whispers. But anyway, you have this idea of a conspiracy. Spirits that are working together secretly for a common cause. And that common cause in the scriptures is identified what Lucifer said. I will ascend into heaven. In fact, let's break this down. We're actually going to see that this is Lucifer's five-point plan. Now, you'll know why I said that here in a little bit, his five-point plan. So let's break it down. Number one, he said, I will ascend into heaven. So he has been cast down, but he says, I'm going back up there. Okay, I want that throne. We'll see that in a minute. I will ascend into heaven. Number two, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Now, in the Bible, stars are angels. Stars are angels. We see in Revelation 12, the dragon takes his tail and he casts down one third of the stars of heaven, the host of heaven, or as the Old Testament refers to them, the sons of God, the morning stars. And so stars are angels. So the devil knows that he's going to ascend into heaven. He knows that he must conquer the angelic realm. He knows that not all of the angels are on his side, and he must conquer the angelic realm. So he says, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. He's going to be in control, or wants to be in control of all the angels. Number three, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Now, the congregation is a church word. Okay, it describes the gathering of God's people. You have the congregation in the wilderness. You have the congregation of the New Testament. When we meet here at our church, Bethel Church in Festus, Missouri. We are meeting as a congregation. And I want you to think about what he says here. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. He knows, the devil knows, that he must conquer the church. He must conquer that. Why is that? Number one, church people are resistors. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. He must conquer the church because the church is the body of Jesus Christ. Jesus and the church, they go hand in hand. We'll see that here in a little bit. They go hand in hand, and he must destroy the church. Believe it or not, the symbolism of September 11th, 2001 declares Lucifer's attempt to destroy the church, the congregation, so that he can sit and reign over them. So imagine one day you go to your church, you go to your local congregation, and you get up there, and the pastor comes up to the pulpit, and he has a big pentagram drawn on his head, and he bites the head of a chicken off, and he says, "We're going to worship Lucifer today." You would get up and you would run out of there, or run him out of there. But the devil works a lot more subtly, doesn't he? He works on pastors. He works on church leaders. He works on denominational leaders. And he works on Christians. When you wake up in the morning, the devil's sitting right there saying, "Let's go get into some trouble today." He will work on you to conquer you. That's what he wants to do. And then he says, number four, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. He's going to go into the uppermost part of heaven. And then he says, number five, seven words, I will be like the Most High. He's not trying to be like Buddha. He already is. He's not trying to be like Muhammad. He already is. He's not trying to be like the angel Moroni. He already is. He wants to be like the Most High. In other words, he wants to sit on the throne of both over the angelic realm and the human realm. And he wants them to call him God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we have the man of sin, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, capital G. In Ezekiel chapter 28, Lucifer says he's called the prince of Tyrus here. And he says, I am God, I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas. He wants to sit on the throne of God and have everyone worship him. I will be like the Most High. Now think about this. So we have the beginnings of a conspiracy, because here in the King James, it identifies Lucifer as the devil. But in the New Translations, it has replaced the word Lucifer with Morning Star. And now in the NIV, Lucifer has become the Most High. How did that happen? I believe in spirits working together to bring about a time when man will worship not the one true God, but Lucifer himself. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, and we're going to talk about numbers here. It's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. For this cause shall God send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. The people of the earth who hate the Bible and who hate the truth will worship the devil and think that they're worshiping God. And so everything that happens, from the shooting of an American president to the burning down of a religious compound in Texas, or the explosion of a government building in Oklahoma City, or the bringing down of two towers on September 11th, 2001, and events that have happened after that, the things that happen that really, really get our attention, all taking us to literally a new world order. And this new world order, and there is a plan. it involves Lucifer. It involves the four groups of devils that we talked about: principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. And this satanic conspiracy involves world governments and governmental agencies. So we deal with the idea that there are devils referred to as principalities. Principalities deal with who's going to be in charge, who's going to run the show, what authority are people going to be working under. And so there is a conspiracy, and there are elements not only of the United States government, but practically every governmental authority and government in the world. There is at least an element or a portion of that government that is in some way complicit in that conspiracy. Remember, these devils are the ones who are pushing the agenda. We go to the scriptures for this. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 2, the Bible says, "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." In other words, here we have a verse in Psalm chapter 2 telling us that governments and governmental agencies, kings and princes of the world and the rulers of the world, they have taken counsel together. In other words, they sat down and said, we're going to go against the Lord and against His anointed. We're going to go against God and against His Son, Jesus Christ, and His church. Because remember, the church in Christ, the church is the body of Christ. When you say it about one, you say it about the other. And so there is a governmental conspiracy, according to the scriptures, that is against God and against the Lord Jesus Christ and against His church, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Remember, we represent the restraint that is in this earth. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. As long as the light is allowed to shine, there can be no darkness. Let's get rid of the light, they say. Let's have the salt lose its savor so that it's good for nothing, as Jesus described it. This is what their plan is to destroy God, destroy Jesus Christ, and His church. So the conspiracy involves governments, governmental agencies. Number two, this conspiracy involves media such as movies, television, music, news coverage, and especially advertising. We have dealt with this in many of our Watchmen video broadcasts and many of the videos that we have put out over the years. The amount of influence that television news, TV shows, movies, music, Lady Gaga, advertising, logos and symbols and slogans that are all full of code phrases, and I'll show you an example of that here in just a little bit. This conspiracy involves large corporations, especially financial and technology companies. Why financial and technology companies? Because of a place in the Bible, Revelation chapter 13, there is going to be a false prophet who rises up, and the Bible says that he's going to cause all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. A lot of speculation as to what that mark's going to be. But we do know that once a person receives, he causes all to receive a mark. This gives us the idea that it's voluntary. People are making a choice. Just like Eve in the Garden of Eden, she chose between the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. She made a choice. She chose the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The devil didn't force it down her throat. She said, this is what I want to do. I think the false prophet of the last days already is working right now. That spirit already is working right now to lead people, to cause them to receive a mark. No one is going to be drug kicking and screaming to get this mark. And I do think that it has everything to do with biotechnology, pharmaceutical company, you name it. I think we may not be able to define it yet, but I think we're headed in that direction. Okay? So, and then financial institutions. Why? So that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name or the number of his name. And the Bible says, here's wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And so we must have technology companies, and we must have financial institutions right now. And if you stop and think about where the world is, especially remember what happened September 11th, 2001. The calamity that it caused in Manhattan, where Wall Street is, and the number of financial institutions that had offices in the World Trade Center, and all of a sudden now we can't even trade stocks for a whole week. And once we start trading again, if you remember, our economy crashed. And now it looks like, again, that not only ours, but all over Europe, all over Asia, all places of the world, the economies of the world are just crumbling down, sort of like the buildings of 2001. You have to destroy the old in order to bring in a new. And I believe this conspiracy involves banking institutions. There are those who I think are standing behind the scenes, waiting for all the banks to crash. They'll move in. You see how simple this is. And it's all being led by spirits. I believe this conspiracy involves religious denominations, including quote-unquote Christian ministries. Let me read you a verse. If you don't believe that, let me read you a verse. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 25. Here's the word conspiracy. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. Stop right here. Here we have God describing the city of Jerusalem, the religious center of all of Israel. And God says, I can see the conspiracy of her prophets in the midst of her. In other words, he was not describing the Buddhists. He was not describing the false religions. He was describing those who are on the inside, those who are part of these religious groups, those who are part of Christian groups in this country and probably all over the world. Jude reminded us that there were certain men crept in unawares. Where was Judas Iscariot in relation to what happened with Jesus Christ and the other disciples? Where was he? He was counted among the 12. He was on the inside. He was one of them. And do you remember what Judas did? He went in a private meeting with the elders of Israel and conspired against Jesus, against the Lord, and against His anointed. Do you see it now? There is a conspiracy. And it's right inside the church. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Be sober, the Bible says. Be vigilant, for your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And so we know that where the conspiracy is, the head conspirator is going to be right there in amongst them. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. The Bible talks about, I think in 2 Peter, talking about the false prophets of the last days, how for pretense they destroy and devour widows' houses. Here it is, right here, an Old Testament prefiguring of a New Testament doctrine, and we're seeing it today. This conspiracy involves, quote-unquote, Christian denominations and Christian ministries. How can you tell? Well, number one, when they walk away from the pure words of the pure Word of God, there is a conspiracy. There's something going on here. When they walk away from the King James Bible, there's something going on here. And that's how you can start spotting what's going on. Another interesting way how you can spot a true spiritual Luciferian conspiracy theory. Take a look at this graphic here of a pyramid structure. The Illuminati, the groups that are part of this conspiracy, they always arrange themselves in pyramids. By the way, have you ever heard of what's called a pyramid scam? We used to have those in America. They may still be running around. I don't know. Pyramid scams where this guy up here would recruit salesmen who would recruit salesmen, recruit salesmen, and they all make it sound like they're all going to get filthy rich. But really, it's the guy at the top. He's the one. It's a pyramid scam because the guy at the top, at the capstone, he's the only one that's really going to make any money off this deal. Well, the Illuminati and their plans, they always work in levels, in layers. And those who are down here may not necessarily know what's going on up here, or even they may not even be aware that there's even an up here. But they're taught to go in layers or levels, or they're initiated by rituals of various kinds. And so if you want to know if there is something not right about the church you're going to, or the denomination you're part of, or the youth meeting, or the empowerment meeting that your particular Christian group has anything to do with, I would start listening. If they start talking about levels, you need to come to a new level. You need to rise up. You need to go upward. When they start talking about levels of initiation and rituals that are performed, see, that's exactly how Freemasonry works. By the way, that's exactly how evolution works too. Remember, this idea of evolution is that man started out as a very, very low form. And through the process of major paradigm shifts, man was suddenly transformed into a higher being until now we are how we are now. And the idea is that we're being brought to a new level, a new consciousness, a new awakening. You listen to the words that are being out there, all New Age terms floating around out there telling us that we're about ready to enter into a higher consciousness or a new level. We're about to evolve again. And so it starts out with the killing of a president in front of hundreds, even thousands of people, broadcast on the news. And then you have a religious compound burning up. And then you have a government building being destroyed. And then on camera, you have these buildings of September 11, 2001 coming down right in front of our very eyes. And we're being taken to different levels. Freemasons work in levels. And I found this in a Masonic manual a few years ago. Here is a Masonic ritual called 3x3x3. And I want you to notice there's a graphic here upon the upper portions of this particular picture. These are Masons that are being initiated to a higher level. And you have this symbol of a three-headed snake coiled up into a symbol called the triquetra. Now, the triquetra, this is interesting because I have examples right here. Here's the triquetra on the front of the New King James Version of the Bible. Okay? Now, the New King James Version is not the King James Version. It's different. The King James Version is the Bible of America, and it always has been up until recently. Religious denominations, churches, ministries all founded their beliefs upon the words that were in this book. Okay? But you hear the talk now. You hear people say, well, that King James, you know, that's old. You know, we need something better than that. So we give them the next step with a little symbol on it. We give them the New King James. That is to get churches and pastors. The New King James Bible has one purpose. That is, if they don't want to go so far as to go right to the NIV or the Message Bible, this takes them one step away from the King James Bible. And so you ask pastors, you use the King James Bible? Well, I use the New King James. It's the same. No. It's not. Not when you take the word hell out of this Bible 22 times, it's not the same. So you see the steps that are being taken here. Marilyn Ferguson wrote a book called The Aquarian Conspiracy. See the symbol? It's the same one. She defines an outline. She was a New Ager. She defines an outline in this book, the steps, the progress, the levels that we're being taking on. And by the way, she says there are New Agers everywhere. There are New Agers who are working, that are in schools, governments, business, secondary schools, public universities, private universities, religious universities, seminaries, denominations, pulpits. She says we have our people everywhere. You can't stop us. And while one works in one group, another works in one group, but really we're all working toward the same goal. And there's a conspiracy involved in it. They themselves admit it, that it's a spiritual awakening that they're bringing mankind to. This symbol seems to be at the core of it. If you want more information, we have a video called Triple Helix. We'll actually tell you what that symbol represents. Let's get some terminology here. You hear a lot of commentators, a lot of conspiracy people talk about the Illuminati. The Illuminati this, the Illuminati that. Let me sort of define what is my idea of who the Illuminati would be. Number one, the Illuminati. Those who work behind the scenes who are illuminated to the secret plan. There are people, I really believe this, there are people on this earth right now who worship the dragon, who worship Lucifer, who are working toward his goals as spelled out in Isaiah chapter 14, who know that they are, who want to be that way. Those are the Illuminati. They know exactly what the plan is. They know what the secrets are. They know what it is that they're doing. They're very, very evil men. Now, we may not be able to identify them. Some people say, oh, I have a list, or oh, I was in a room with them. We may not be able to identify them. But that's who they are. The spirits always have their guys. They always do. Number two, we have what I call initiates. Those working in various groups who are not given the truth of the plan. Now, let me illustrate it for you here. Remember, there are New Age organizations all over the country, and most of them are in California for whatever reason. New Age organizations that are reaching into every place in society in this country and all over the world. Okay, I even saw marks of it in Kenya when I visited Kenya. They're everywhere now. If you were to ask most New Agers and even witches for that matter, I have some books on witchcraft, and one of them basically says it's a myth that we worship Lucifer. We don't worship the devil. That's silly. Let me help you out with this, okay? If you do not worship the God of this Bible, you're worshiping Lucifer. Okay? You can't have it both ways. You will hate the one and hold to the other, and love the one and despise the other. But you cannot serve two masters. So if you're not serving God of this Bible, you're in on the plan. Okay, you're part of the conspiracy. You just don't know it. See, the initiates don't really know. In Freemason, I have Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma here. Okay, and he illustrates the 32 levels. One, two. Okay, going up 32 levels of Freemasonry, and I've read most of this book, and he never really deliberately comes right out and says, blah, this is what the secret is, this is what we're doing, this is who we're serving. He never comes right out and says it in here. He alludes to it, he talks about allegories and symbols, we'll see some of that in a little bit, but he never actually comes right out and says it. And he also says something interesting in here, that he says that if you're on the lower parts of Freemasonry, you don't get it. Okay? You don't know who it is that we're really serving and what it is that we're really doing. You'll never know. Okay, and I'll show you what he said here in a little bit. And so those are initiates. They're working in organizations and groups. And they would probably get mad if you say, well, you're a Lucifer worshiper. They would probably get upset with you because they don't think they are. But the truth is, if you're not born again, that's whose side you're on. And then we have the masses. We have the Illuminati. We have the core here. We have all the initiates working out. And then we have just basically everybody else. Those who are being manipulated by the plan. These are people walking up down the street, people watching television, eating popcorn at movies. Whatever it is, that's who they are. That's our three groups here. So when you read literature, things like that, keep that in mind. And they use phrases. Marilyn Ferguson, I was reading through this, and I just started underlining phrases that she used in here. Here it is, paradigm shift on page 61. Transformation here. Homo novus here on page 58. And other phrases. The omega point and so on. She says in here, chromosomes are splitting to go forward with a new pattern of life. By the way, that's what that is all about. But anyway, they give you phrases. You've heard of things like paradigm shift. Now we have religious conferences called paradigm shift or a great awakening, or a new consciousness, or a new paradigm, or here's one that you'll see all the time: the new world order, a new age, new level, next level, higher level. Bank of America had an advertising campaign that featured their slogan, Bank of America, a higher standard. In other words, it was they were drawing your attention to what a standard is, and a standard literally was a flag. Now I want you to notice their flag here. Okay, their symbol, their logo, Bank of America, higher level, a higher standard. Let's break this down. This is the language of symbolism here. What does this represent? Some say, well, that's just an American flag. No, not really, because the stripes are going different directions. Do you see that? What we have here is a set of three numbers, an 11, an 11, an 11. That's the number 33. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. And you say, well, I think you're exaggerating. I think you're making too much of this. Let's look at what Albert Pike said in Morals and Dogma concerning the nature of symbols. And by the way, let me point this out to you. When you get a King James Bible and you read it from Genesis to Revelation, it may take you a while, you will never ever notice a symbol for a verse. They'll just always be the words in that verse. God doesn't draw symbols in the Bible and say, I hope you can figure this out. He just writes it out plainly for us. The Bible says the prophet made it plain upon tables. He didn't use symbols. He didn't use mysterious things that we would never know what they mean. He used letters and words that you and I can read. Here's what Albert Pike said about symbols. He says, symbols have two meanings, the esoteric and the exoteric. The esoteric meaning was the true and original meaning, understood by only a few and closely guarded by them. The exoteric meaning was the invented or modified explanation intended for the many. There's the masses right there. The sacred mysteries, which are often mentioned in connection with many ancient religions, which were closely guarded by the initiate, concerned esoteric meanings in the religions of previous times. And then he says, Masonry, like all the religions, all the mysteries, hermeticism, and alchemy, conceals its secrets from all except the adepts and sages, or the elect, and uses false explanations and misinterpretations of its symbols to mislead those who deserve only to be misled, to conceal the truth which it calls light from them, and to draw them away from it. Truth is not for those who are unworthy or unable to receive it or would pervert it. That's what Albert Pike says in Morals and Dogma. And so basically what he said was, symbols always have two meanings. So you see on the front of the New King James Bible a symbol called a triquetra. Okay. Now, Thomas Nelson says this is a symbol for the Trinity. Now, the book of Acts says there cannot be any image of the Godhead graven by art and man's device. So, Thomas Nelson was not telling the truth about this. Pike said symbols have two meanings. The exoteric, the one that we tell you what it means, but it doesn't really mean that. And then it has the esoteric, which means secret. That means the meaning that we're not going to tell you what it means. And he says, if we tell you what this symbol means, the double-headed eagle on the front of this book, we're lying. We're concealing it. We're misleading you. We're not telling you that. How would you like to be part of an organization that you paid dues to that repeatedly didn't tell you the truth? They lied to you. They misled you because they don't feel like that you're of the highest level to receive it. Whereas in Bible Christianity, there are no levels of initiation in Christianity. Once you decide that you're going to believe the Bible and call upon the name of the Lord, you're saved. See how simple that was? Automatically, you are with Christ in heavenly places. No degrees, no levels, no layers, nothing like that. Those who get saved 30 years ago and die the same day a guy gets saved that day dies, they both have the same inheritance, the same eternal reward in heaven. No layers, no levels, and they were never deceived by the Word of God. By the way, interesting thing about Albert Pike. He was at least part responsible for an organization called the Ku Klux Klan. Okay? There is an amazing link between Ku Klux Klan, of course, and Freemasonry. It's a little secret society, and the hoods, they seem to have borrowed from priests in Europe. And it's real interesting because why did they spell it Ku Klux Klan? Why was it that way? We call it the KKK, and that's interesting because letters in ciphers and cryptograms and things like that, letters are numbers. And so we have A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. K is the 11th letter. And so when you have K, 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 you have 11, 11, 11. Are you getting where? We saw that in the Bank of America logo. Now we're seeing it in the KKK. That makes the number 33. They will use other symbols such as the square and the compass, the all-seeing eye and the capstone, the pentagram. Let's deal with the pentagram. Let's deal with this idea. You see the pentagram everywhere. And we know that the pentagram represents Satan's five-point plan. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So the pentagram, even though no one really wants to tell you what that symbol represents, the Bible is revealing to you that it represents Lucifer and his plan. It represents Satan. Now, let me give you something interesting here. The name Satan, just the name Satan, in the King James Bible is mentioned exactly 55 times in the Scriptures. That's 5 times 11. So here we have this connection here of Satan himself and this pentagram. People say, oh, the pentagram, that's not a satanic. Yeah, it is. It's a satanic motto. It's a satanic emblem. And this idea that we have Lucifer represented by a star, five-pointed star, we have his five-point plan. And I want you to think of Revelation chapter 9. We have an interesting prophecy. We have Revelation chapter 9, verse 1, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? That's what it says in Isaiah 14. Unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now, interestingly enough, we're talking about symbols and we're talking about a conspiracy. There was a movie. Do you remember the movie called Starman? This movie, Jeff Bridges, he is an alien. He is a star. And he falls down to the earth. Okay? You see the symbolism of the movie poster right there, Starman. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? And there's an interesting thing going on here, is that this star man falls from heaven, finds Karen Allen, mates with her, she's pregnant with his child, and he tells her that this child is going to be a great teacher in the earth. That, by the way, that's exactly what the New Agers say is going to happen, is that there is going to be a great world teacher that's going to rise up and teach everybody and bring us all into a new age of peace and enlightenment. So now you're understanding the nature of symbols and how they show up in movies and books and comics and commercials and things like that. Let me give you this as well. The word Antichrist in the King James Bible mentioned exactly 5 times. The word thorns mentioned 50 times in the King James Bible. Devils mentioned 55 times in the King James Bible. Do you remember a movie? They did a remake of it here a few years ago. The original came out. It was called The Omen. Remember what that movie was? It was about the birth. The birth. Remember Starman? It was about the birth of the Antichrist, the beast on the earth. He was depicted as a 5-year-old child in this movie. In this movie, 5 people who discover his true identity are murdered, and his last name was Thorn. Somebody who wrote this movie script knew exactly what they were doing. There's been some people who have been in the occult. They've been in witchcraft. They've been in Freemasonry. Bill Schnabelin was one of them. Here's what he says concerning the pentagram. He says the pentagram has one use only, and that is to call up the power of Satan and bring the kingdom of the devil into manifestation on the earth. He describes it as the great rite ritual. Now, I want you to think about this, and I'm going to describe for you in sort of generic terms the Great Rite Ritual. Here we have the Star Man. Here we have an earthly woman, a human woman, played by Karen Allen in the movie Star Man. He ascends or descends, he falls out of the sky. His spaceship crashed. Think of Roswell. We'll get to that in a minute. His spaceship crashed. He finds her. They come together. She now is going to carry his child. That pretty much describes what witches, Wiccans, Satanists describe as the Great Rite Ritual. It is the male joining with the female in a ritualistic pattern. They call it the blade and the chalice, or the sword and the cup. They use different terms, and sometimes they just use a cup, and sometimes they just use a dagger. But sometimes they go ahead and act this thing out, the man and the woman. Think of Genesis 6, the sons of God and the daughters of men. Let me give you an explanation of what, according to the occultists, what the Great Rite Ritual is all about. The Great Rite Invocation specially declares that the body of the woman taking part is an altar, with her womb and generative organs as its sacred focus, and reveres it as such. The high priestess then lays herself down towards the altar, and her arms and legs outstretched to form the pentagram. Now, I used to collect comics when I was a young man. And one of them that I, even in those days, I knew this one was bad. It was called Night Force. And on the front cover of this comic called Night Force, here we have the Great Rite Invocation, right on a comic book for kids, a woman laying herself out upon an altar, surrounded by demons, devils, and she is making her body into the form of a pentagram. Now, let's take this same idea and go to September 11th, 2001, because we have a building. We have a building as part of this thing that happened September 11th, 2001, called the Pentagon. The Pentagon was actually, in fact, let me go back to 60 years prior to September 11th, 2001. Let me go back to September 11th, 1941. Exactly 60, think of the number 6, Genesis 6, Revelation, the number 666. Let's go 60 years back to September 11th, 1941. A shovel went into the ground in a ceremony. That was the groundbreaking ceremony of the Pentagon building. Exactly 60 years later, we have the Great Rite Invocation. In fact, let's look at the Pentagon building. It has five sides. It actually, the Pentagon is the interior part of a pentagram. We have five sides. It has five sections, five floors, a 5-acre courtyard. Notice the center courtyard of the Pentagon building looks exactly like this woman laid out to be the altar where the Great Rite Ritual is going to be performed. Now, I want you to think about this, and I'm here again using generic terms. We have the Great Rite. We have the male and the female coming together, the yin and the yang, sort of like the square, which Masonry describes as the woman, and the compass, which Masonry describes as the man, fusing together. We have the pentagram building, which represents the woman. She is the altar. And there's always a sacrifice, by the way. And then we have, whether you say it was a rocket or it was an airplane, but we have the symbol of the male joining with the symbol of the female, September 11th, 2001. The Great Rite Ritual performed right in front of our very eyes to bring about the power of Lucifer and his kingdom. Did it happen overnight? No. But we are taking steps to those higher levels that will get us there one of these days. Now, here's something interesting about the Pentagon building itself. I did a little research about how this thing was built, okay? Because I kept seeing, well, it's a pentagram and a pentagon and the fives all over the place. And, you know, we see the fifth trumpet sounding and all of these things, all these similarities going in here. But then I noticed on a website that it was designed to be exactly 77 feet tall. Now, that was interesting to me and more than just a coincidence, because do you happen to remember, by the way, that 7 times 11, we're dealing with the number 11. Do you happen to remember what flight supposedly flew into the side of a 77-foot tall building? It was flight 77. Now, remember something. Remember the kings of the earth. They're conspiring together. They are against the Lord, and they are against His anointed. His anointed would be Christ the head, and His body, the church. This interesting thing about the number 77 and the great rite ritual, which is a replacement religion for Bible Christianity, witchcraft and Satanism and all that stuff. An interesting thing about Christ and the church and this number 77. In Luke chapter 3, you have a lineage of Jesus given, and it starts with Jesus and it works backwards all the way down through Adam to God. If you count the number of names in that lineage, you'll find from Jesus to God, there are 77 names in that list. God to Jesus. Remember, the conspiracy is against the Lord and against His anointed, meaning Jesus and His body, the church. Because in the King James Bible, you will find the word church mentioned exactly 77 times. You know what that means? See, this lineage given in Luke chapter 3 shows you that Jesus is the rightful heir, the inheritor of God His Father, and the church, we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. But there is a conspiracy against the Lord and against His anointed. I started tracking this number 77 down. Guess what else I found? Pentagon is exactly 77 feet tall, struck by Flight 77. Washington, D.C. lies on the 77th meridian. There's a line of longitude, and Washington, D.C. is right on longitude 77. By the way, there's a highway that goes from Waco, Texas to Oklahoma City called Highway 77. We'll talk about both of those places here in just a little bit. There's more than just one thing that's part of this conspiracy. But we're going to deal with the number, you know, 77 is 7 times 11. We're going to deal with this number 11. And I want you to think sort of in these terms. In fact, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 11. And hence we call this the Babel conspiracy. And I want you to think about the two World Trade Tower buildings. And they just happen to look like a number 11. There's more to it. We'll see it in just a little bit. But we're going to understand this number 11. And I'm going to kind of give you an overview here, kind of where we're going. The number 11 in the Bible represents confusion. Was there confusion on that day? It represents chaos. It represents disorder. Think about what happened on that day. There was chaos. But see, now, since the chaos of 9/11, they've been trying to build a new order from that day. Things are different now than they used to be. September the 10th, 2001. Things are a lot different now. Out of the chaos came a new order. Okay? So I want you to think on those terms. In the book of Daniel, we're given the description of a beast who has 10 horns. And then out of that horn rises up another horn. He's the 11th. And so this number 11 will point us to the Antichrist, the beast that rises up out of the pit. I want you to think about these terms. Something that is rising up to ascend up into heaven. Genesis chapter 11. The Bible says the whole earth was of one language and one speech. So I want you to think about this. In Genesis chapter 10, Genesis 9 and 10, we have Noah and his sons and their wives all coming off the ark, and then they are divided up by their families. But as of this time, they all speak one language. They all have one common language. A lot of evidence suggests that that language was Hebrew, which was the mother tongue. But here we have in Genesis chapter 11, the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And the Bible says in verse 4, and they said, all the people were together now. They were all gathered together in the plain of Shinar, or Sumeria, the way some people call it now. And so they're in the valley of Shinar, in the plain, and they decide that they need to do something. They said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now, what we see in this is that we know that in Genesis chapter 11, God came down and said, no, we're not having this. And he confused, get that idea, he confused their languages and scattered them all across the earth. And so this number 11 has everything to do with confusion. It has to do with the rebuilding of an unfinished work. Think of the unfinished pyramid on the back of the U.S. $1 bill. It's unfinished and it needs to be finished. Listen, Lucifer wants to finish this plan. He wants to sit on the throne of God. And so Lucifer and his devils, they always operate in patterns. They always operate, and it's sort of like animals. We know that animals live in certain places. They like to eat in certain places. They have their habitations in certain areas. And those who study animals know about those animals because of what's born and bred into their nature. The same way it is with devils. They only operate in certain ways and in certain patterns. And so this number 11 has everything to do with those patterns, and occultists, those who perform rituals, those who are led by familiar spirits will operate along those same lines. They will use numerology. They will use the numbers 11 or 22 or 33 or 77 or 55. They will use these numbers to indicate the patterns that they're following because they're led by the spirits who follow these patterns. And these patterns will always explain to us in the pages of the Bible. What I did was I took years that were divisible by the number 11, 1914, 1925, 36, 1947. Can you think of some things that happened in 1947, 1958, 69, 80, 91, 2002? We're going to look at some things that have happened in these years that I think are significant that brings us to a new level or a new order. Dates of the year that are divisible by 11. February the 2nd. I'll explain what these are in a little bit. April the 20th. What happened April 20th? May 1st. December 7th. You remember what happened on December 7th? Some of you of an older generation might remember December 7th. President Roosevelt stands out before Congress and says, December 7th, 1941, a day that will live in infamy. December the 6th, the United States of America is not getting involved with either the war in Europe or the war in Asia. December the 7th, that date, the number day of that year, divisible by 11, now we're getting involved in that war. And so there are things that are going on that are causing us to act or react in a sort of prefigured pattern to bring us to a new world order. Let's look at May 1st. May 1st, 1776. And I want you to think about this because 1776, that of course is the year that United States signed the Declaration of Independence. By the way, they're rebuilding a tower. Okay? They're rebuilding a tower in the place where the old tower stood. It's called the Freedom Tower. It is going to be exactly 1,776 feet tall. What does that commemorate? The signing of the Declaration of Independence? Or what happened on May 1st, 1776? A Bavarian Jesuit by the name of Adam Weishaupt formed a secret society called the Illuminati. May 1st is the 121st day of the year. That is 11 times 11. I want you to remember that number. We're going to see it here again in a little bit. The 121st day of the year, 11 times 11, that's the day that Adam Weishaupt, a former Jesuit, picks to bring about what he calls the Order of Perfectibilists, which basically means we're going to have a secret society here that is going to advance the cause of perfecting mankind, but we know that it has to be done in stages, in levels, by initiations. That's what the goal and the plan of the Illuminati is all about. We're dealing with the restoration of the Tower of Babel, not literally the real Tower of Babel, but what Babel represented, man's effort at achieving a higher level, literally going from earth, I will ascend into heaven. Think about it. Okay? So this is what the idea of Babel represents, and the thing with the number 11. This is what they all tie together with, is this idea of elevating both Lucifer to godhood and man to godhood, just like Lucifer promised Eve in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3. It's interesting because we have the European Union. And the European Union is made up of a group of different nations in Europe. They all speak different languages. You have Spain, England, Germany, France, and you have all these other nations there, and they're all speaking all these different languages. This poster comes out to advertise the European Union as some good thing, and lo and behold, they use the image of the Tower of Babel. And the people who are working on the Tower of Babel to build the Tower of Babel, they all look like bricks, because that's what they used in Genesis 11. They said, go to, let us, they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. The bricks of this new world order that's building the Tower of Babel, literally, are human beings, people. And I want you to notice the slogan, many, Europe, many tongues, one voice. It's a reversal of what God was doing in Genesis 11. God says in Genesis 11, if they imagine it, they will be able to achieve it. I have to put a stop to this. So he confuses the languages and scatters them into nations. Now these nations decide that they're going to come back together, and even though they speak many languages, they now have one voice. And oh, by the way, I want you to, let's count. We have pentagrams hovering over the unfinished Tower of Babel. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 of them. That theme of the number 11. We go back to the birth of the European Union. Starts out in 1914, a multiple of the number 11, World War I. Okay? You have most of these nations in Europe are all monarchies. And after World War I, those monarchies started to crumble. 1947, which was exactly 33 years later, you have the Marshall Plan, which is the United States sending aid and money and all kinds of stuff to do what? To rebuild Europe after World War II. Now you have more monarchies falling. Now you have, instead of a king ruling over a nation, you have a parliament, you have a prime minister, you have a different form of government. Think about World War I, World War II, what it was all about. Exactly 11 years later, 1958, the European Union is officially formed and a common currency is planned. They now call it the euro. In 2002, exactly 44 years later, the euro becomes the currency in all European nations. Do you see the pattern of 11 in the significant dates of the formation of the birth of the European Union? So from 1914 to the year 2002, you have exactly 88 years that covers the entire birth of the European Union. Now, this is interesting. I want you to remember this number 88. We're going to see it again in just a little bit. You might have already know what I'm talking about. This number 88 seems to be significant here. When they formed the European Union, they said, you know what? We've got to have a parliament building. So in Strasbourg, France, they built the parliament building. They called it the Tower of Babel. They built this parliament building to look exactly like the unfinished Tower of Babel. They could have built this thing to look like anything in the world. For some reason that we see, I think there is a conspiracy. I think spirits are giving inspiration to architects and to designers and to planners and to people working behind the scenes. I think there is a spiritual conspiracy involved in this. Why does this building look exactly this way? It's a symbol of rebuilding and turning the world from the old world into a new world order. You even go, I went to the European Parliament Building website. I dug up some information. The plans were submitted in 1991. That's a multiple 11. The building has exactly 1,133 offices in it. Building surface area, 220 meters squared. That's a multiple of 11. The cost was 1.9 billion francs. That's a multiple of 11. The exact number, even though there's more than 11 nations represented in the European Union, they speak officially 11 languages. Think about it. This Tower of Babel had an intention, is that it was to elevate man from this world to the next. Notice in Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, and they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. Think about plans to get man from here to there. Do we have that ability yet? Yes. 1958, divisible by 11, Congress forms the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. For what purpose? To elevate man from this earth, to put him amongst the stars. Are you getting where I'm going with this? Exactly 11 years later, from 1958 to 1969, we did it. We reached the heavens with Apollo 11. Now, Apollo, that's interesting. Apollo is the god of prophecy. Did you know that? He's the Greek god or Roman god of prophecy. I can't remember which one. But he's the god of prophecy. Okay? And oh, by the way, in the temple of Apollo, when the high priestess, who was known as the Oracle, met at Delphi, the computer companies named that name, by the way, When the oracle met at Delphi in the temple of Apollo, if someone who had a question for Apollo, the god of prophecy, the oracle would go into a secret chamber and there would be these women, and they would converse and they would receive this illumination or this message from the god of prophecy called Apollo, and they would receive it in these different tongues, these different languages that no one could understand what they meant. But the oracle always knew, and she would interpret, and she would come out and tell so-and-so, this is what God, the God Apollo, the God of prophecy, has to say. That's all interesting. It has to do with confusion of languages. And Apollo 11 lands on the moon. And in 1969, think about this year. Think about some things that happened this year. We have Richard Nixon making this long-distance phone call. I don't know if you remember this, to the moon. Here's what Richard Nixon said. Because of what you have done, the heavens have become a part of man's world. As you talk to us from the sea of tranquility, it inspires us to redouble our efforts to bring peace and tranquility to the earth. This all happened in 1969. Do you remember what else happens in 1969? We have a song by the Eagles that came out several years later, but it was called Hotel California. Remember, Apollo 11, they said the eagle has landed. Here we have a group called the Eagles. Eagles are indicative of angels, of spirits, by the way. Go read Ezekiel chapter 1 and you'll see that. Revelation chapter 4, you'll see the same thing. Here we have a rock group called the Eagles, and they sing a song called Hotel California. Now, this song just happens to be about the first church of Satan organized on California Street in San Francisco, California, with its own Bible, the Satanic Bible, in 1969. Notice the lyrics of this song. Then I asked the lady, please bring me my wine. She said, we haven't had that spirit here since 1969. Same year that man went to the heavens and the heavens became a part of man's world. Also in 1969, there was a group called the Fifth Dimension. There's that number five again. and they sing a song called This Is the Dawning. You remember, this is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Okay? And that's interesting because you have the zodiac and you have the 12 signs of the zodiac and they're in a particular order. Aquarius is the 11th sign of the zodiac. 1969, you have the dawning of the age of Aquarius. 11 years later, you have this, the New King James Version of the Bible, and this, the Aquarian Conspiracy, both coming out in the same year. They both had the funny little triquetra symbol on them. Okay? There's a conspiracy. Okay? 11 years later, 1991, George Herbert Walker Bush comes out and says, makes a speech before Congress and says it is a big idea. A new world order where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause. Only the United States has both the moral standing and the means to back it up. In other words, there was a declaration in 1991, number divisible by 11, by the way, of a new world order, the rebuilding of the Tower of Babel, the rebuilding of the concept of Babel, and that is turning men into gods. Every ritual requires a sacrifice. September 11, 2001, you have the great rite invocation, and a sacrifice took place at the Pentagram building. The same thing happened in Lower Manhattan in New York City, September 11, 2001. I did a little research. I just started looking at things that were going on. Steel construction of the World Trade Towers began in 1968. And I want you to think about that. 1968, they started putting together the steel frame of the World Trade Towers. Exactly 33 years later, those buildings are destroyed. Think about it. Okay, we're going to see this number again here in a little bit. So that sort of let me know that something was going on here, something significant. And I want you to think of a sacrifice. Who was it that was the ultimate sacrifice for man when he was 33 years old? Jesus Christ was that sacrifice. Remember, there is a conspiracy against the Lord and against His anointed. The old must be brought down so a new can rise up in its place. And it's all about, as George Bush said, as all these other people, New World Order people are saying, got to bring everybody together. We've all got to be one world. I was standing in line in London, England, waiting to catch an airplane at a particular airline desk whose slogan was, One world. Okay? Bringing everybody together. We got it. You know, God scattered them in Genesis 11. We're going to bring them all back together so we can finish what we started. Interesting thing about the World Trade Towers. They had an address. The particular address of Tower 1 was called One World Tower. Now, maybe somebody just made that up, but I think it was a conspiracy. I think spirits are working together. I'll never forget when I first saw this and doing the research for this. I'll never, as long as I live, never forget this. A brochure. When they built the towers, they were trying to sell the office space. You got to sell the space so they can make money. And a brochure was issued sometime in the mid-70s to advertise the space for the One World Tower, the World Trade Towers. Remember, the goal of the Tower of Babel is, let us build us a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And I'm going to show you this brochure, the closest some of us will ever get to heaven. The World Trade Center, New York. There's a conspiracy here. Not by the person who made out this flyer was not the head of the conspiracy. He was just a person. Inspiration. The devils were at work to show forth their plan in a symbolic way, September 11th, 2001. Look at the similarities between the towers and the number 11. The towers appear as a gigantic number 11. Each tower is exactly 110 stories tall. They were destroyed on September 11th. The first tower hit was hit by Flight 11. And 111 days exactly left in the year. I saw a tarot card called the Tower. I couldn't believe my eyes. In fact, here's several renditions of this same tower. Okay, this tarot card used in the occult. Okay, it shows a building being struck, a tower being struck. It's on fire. People are falling out of it, and a new one rising up in its place. Here's the meaning behind the Tower tarot card. The tower shows us a basic fact of spiritual life. The power of the gods can strike unexpectedly to break down all the long-established patterns and assumptions that we have taken for granted for so long. Sometimes our limited vision of reality blocks our understanding and perception of truth. We begin to believe that the tower, which we have been building higher and higher in order to reach the gods, is the only reality. A cataclysmic force is needed to destroy this fantasy so as to allow us to recognize the powers which surround us. When this happens, we must react with hope, letting go of our fears. The highest truths can now be realized. A beautiful city rises in elaborately constructed towers, representing plans and projects, things that are established, ordered, and controlled. A violent storm sweeps over the city, striking the tall towers with sudden bolts of lightning. A jester maniacally pops up, echoing the shock and surprise of the lightning. Old structures are changing, like it or not. You're being blasted from one reality to the next. And the way is being cleared for transformation. Change is in the air, crackling in the atmosphere like summer lightning. And so you see clearly that the idea of these towers coming down represents the destruction of the old world and the building up of the new world. And I couldn't believe my eyes when somebody sent me this. Here's a clip from a TV show called The Lone Gunman. Now remember, this idea of a lone gunman is the idea that there is no conspiracy, but we know that there is. Here is a television show called The Lone Gunman. It was a spinoff from The X-Files, May of 2011, before September 11th. And it depicts the idea that the government wants to declare martial, or elements of the government want to declare martial law to transition the country from an old way to a new way. And they have to initiate martial law. They decide that the best way to do that is to make it look like there was a terrorist attack on our nation. And how did they dream up how to do this? They decided to fly a commercial airplane into the World Trade Center. This came out in May of 2011. Boy, that's a little scary. We've already seen it on a tarot card. Now we're seeing it in a TV show. Here's a logo from one of these military think tanks called the Warfighting Lab, called Urban Warrior. It shows a beast rising up out of the sea, consuming the World Trade Towers. This was before September 11, 2001. Here is a FEMA manual that somebody gave me on the Emergency Response to Terrorism Self-Study. It's a workbook that they had. This came out in June of 1999. Notice the crosshairs on the World Trade Towers before it happened. Here is a CD cover of a rock group called Coup. And it's called Party Music. Notice the red pentagram there. And notice that these two rappers are detonating bombs in almost identically the same location as the two planes hit the World Trade Towers. Were there bombs in the buildings? I don't know. But I do know the spirits that were behind the conspiracy of September 11th, 2001. There was a movie called Independence Day. It was about It's about the aliens coming down to take over the planet. Boy, that's biblical. And in a very, very real fashion, angels falling down from the skies to take over the planet. Jeff Goldblum is a scientist who's figured out their code, and he's got a countdown going to exactly when their beams are going to start hitting the Earth and destroying New York City. And the camera flashes to exactly 9 minutes, 11 seconds. There was, talking about the Illuminati, there was a card game, you know, one of these card games that came out in the mid-90s called the Illuminati card game. One of the cards that you draw, and I don't know how to play this game, one of the cards you draw has a depiction of the two twin towers, World Trade Centers, being destroyed by, I guess, some sort of terrorist bomb or something like that. The same card deck has a card called the Pentagon. It shows a big bomb going off in the Pentagon. Let me read you some scriptures, okay? Because I want to make this clear to you in case you don't quite get it. I'm going to read a verse of scripture. Remember in Revelation chapter 9, we saw a star fall from heaven. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? He had the key to the bottomless pit. He opens up the gateway to hell, and he opens that pit up, and locusts come out. These are devils. These are devils that are being held in chains of darkness. And they're released upon the earth for 5 months. And the Bible says that they had a king over them. That's in Revelation 9:11. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. You know what that means? Destroyer. Revelation 9:11. You see, I think that all of these little prophecies we see in the tarot cards and the Illuminati cards and the movies and things like that, and 9/11 itself is a symbolic prediction of something that the Bible says is going to happen, and it's associated with those two numbers, 9 and 11. I mentioned earlier that the World Trade Towers, they started construction in 1968, and they were brought down exactly 33 years later. This number 33 is a very, very interesting number. It's used, it's one of the main numbers of the Illuminati. It's used in the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. It's the 33 is the number for wisdom in the Bible, but here we have the opposite of that, occult illumination in the occult world. Incidentally, the phrase the beast. It's mentioned exactly 33 times in the New Testament of the King James Bible. And it nearly all the time refers to, guess who? The beast that rises up out of the sea having seven heads and ten horns. This beast, this king of the bottomless pit, 9 and 11. If you multiply 9 and 11, you get 99. That's 33 times 3. It all points back to the Antichrist. This king of the bottomless pit was sort of prefigured in the days of Moses and Joshua. In the days when the Israelites were going into the promised land, they had to destroy the nations that were already there. That's symbolic of the angels that are in heaven that are not the good guys, and there's a war in heaven, and they have to be kicked out. So here you have these nations that they have to get rid of them, and they have kings over them. And in Joshua chapter 12, we find that Moses killed two of them. One of them was Og, who was a giant. And Joshua killed 31 more of them. Isn't it interesting that there were 33 kings that were in the land of Canaan that had to be destroyed for God's people to receive their inheritance? Are you thinking about this? In the book of 1 Kings chapter 20, there is Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria. He comes in to invade the land of Israel, to take over. He wants that land. By the way, he doesn't come alone. Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, comes with 32 other kings with him. 33 kings. It's a number for the beast, okay? So this number blazoned across the top of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, number 33. That is a number associated with the beast. In the New Age movement, the number 33 is associated with, get this, the Avatar. Remember that movie? You know what an avatar is? An avatar is what happens when the gods want to come down to the earth. They can't do it themselves, and so they have an intermediary, an avatar, who is half God and half human. Okay, that's what they do. And they call that an avatar. When you're in an online world and you really can't crawl inside of your computer, you make yourself an avatar, a go-between, okay? But see, anyway, that number 33 is the number for the avatar in the New Age movement. There was a Marvel comic book, I used to have this one, called The Son of Satan, who depicted a superhero who was the child of Satan and a human woman. His birthday was on the 33rd day of the year, which was February the 2nd. That's Groundhog Day. By the way, you remember a movie called Groundhog Day? It's this guy that is this real nasty, self-centered, conceited weatherman. And on the 33rd day of the year, he wakes up, having died the night before, wakes up again on the 33rd day of the year, relives the entire day all over again, and eventually he keeps getting better and better and better and better until he's in bed with the woman. You see where we're going here, okay? But anyway, the son of Satan was born on February the 2nd, 33rd day of the year. It was in 1933 that FDR, who was a 33rd degree Mason, put the all-seeing eye on the back of the $1 bill. That represents the unfinished and then finished work of the Tower of Babel. We mentioned Waco, Texas, Highway 77, the destruction of the church. What happened in Waco, Texas? You have a religious compound. Now, I don't like anything about their doctrine, but you had a religious compound that was burnt down to the ground on Highway 77. The leader of this particular group was named David Koresh. Guess how old he was? 33 years old when he died. Highway 77 goes up to Oklahoma City. We're just a few blocks away from Highway 77. You have the Alfred P. Murrah building. Now, this again is interesting. Alfred P. Murrah was a 33rd degree Mason. The building that they built in honor of him had three rows of columns. There were 11 columns in each row. 11, 11, 11. That's 33. Okay? The building, by the way, I remember where I was, and I remember watching the news, and I remember all of a sudden they run everybody away because they said they found more explosives inside the building. I remember that. Then, of course, they came back and said, we didn't say that. Where did you get that idea? No, explosives? There were no explosives. It was Timothy McVeigh, right? Okay. So after the initial explosion, the Alfred P. Murrah building was allowed to remain standing exactly 33 days. And then it was fully demolished. And they pinned it all on one guy. And I think there was a conspiracy. They pinned it all on one guy, Timothy McVeigh. Now, he may have had something to do with it. I don't think he was alone, though. But anyway, if you remember, when they were going to execute Timothy McVeigh, they put a stay of execution. They held it off for a little while. They said, oh, we got to look at the records, we got to do this, we got to do that. They waited until after his 33rd birthday to put him on a table that looks like this. Okay? You get where I'm going with this? And then they take his life. They execute him. We mentioned the World Trade Towers being standing exactly 33 years, and then they're destroyed. And in their place, and Time Magazine just issued a new cover called Beyond 9/11, and it features the two towers of lights. You remember those? The two towers of lights that were shown every night after the World Trade Center was destroyed. Those towers of lights went from March 11, okay, that's 3/11, to April the 13th, exactly 33 days. And it was interesting to me, and I just count things, They put 44 lights in this one and 44 lights in this one. That is 88 lights. 4 times 11, 4 times 11, 8 times 11. And the beast is the eighth and is of the seventh and goeth into perdition, the Bible says. The number 8 has everything to do with the beast as well. Remember the 88 years it took to birth the European Union and bring the euro into existence? The 88 lights here? Okay? And then we have the idea of the what I call the 33rd parallel. On or around the 33rd parallel around the earth, you've got some really weird things happening that I think are part of a conspiracy to bring about a new world order. You have to destroy the old one. And let's go all the way back to the 1860s. You have the United States of America, which for the most part was founded upon the principles that are contained in the Bible. And you have this beautiful haven for Protestant churches, and I mean non-Catholic churches, to grow and to be nurtured by the Scriptures. And the devil hates that. And so there is a biblical concept that says, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. So we have the Civil War. Incidentally, the first place that shots were fired of the Civil War, Charleston, South Carolina, which is right on the 33rd parallel where an ancient Scottish Rite Masonic temple exists. It's called the Mother Lodge of Freemasonry in America. And there were exactly 11 states in the Confederacy trying to divide and destroy a nation. Charleston, South Carolina. Let's jump forward to 1963. Charleston, South Carolina. There was a Roman Catholic Church in Charleston, South Carolina. And there was St. Paul's Cathedral in the Vatican, 1963. And according to former Jesuit Malachi Martin, a ceremony took place. A ceremony that involved a young girl. It involved, I think, a dog for a sacrifice. And it was conducted in two places, St. Paul's Cathedral and by telephone, in this Catholic church in Charleston, South Carolina, on the 33rd parallel. And it was called the enthronement ceremony of the fallen angel Lucifer. Malachi Martin wrote about this in his book called The Wind Swept House. He described it in detail. It became known by a pope, a guy by the name of Albino Luciani. And it became known to him once he became pope that there was a very, very heavy Freemasonic presence inside the Vatican. In fact, these people were involved in some pretty shady dealings that involved the Vatican Bank and the Italian Mafia and the P2, which is Italian Freemasonry, and on and on and on and on. And Pope John Paul I found out about all this and probably found out about the enthronement ceremony that took place, decided that these aren't the people he wanted surrounding him as Pope. And so he wrote a letter saying, I'm going to have this person and this person and this person and this person. One was the Vatican Secretary of State, the second in command, was going to have them resign and step down. And the letter became known. Pope John Paul I was found dead the next morning in his bed, exactly 33 days after becoming Pope. Are you getting, you sort of getting the idea here? Okay, Atlanta, Georgia, 1996, 33rd parallel. You have the Olympic Park bombings. Dallas, Texas, near the 33rd parallel, between the 32nd and 33rd parallel. That's the place where John F. Kennedy was killed on the 11th month of the 22nd day. Those two numbers together make 33. Dealey Plaza was the former site of a Masonic lodge. Even the layout of Dealey Plaza, the two streets, or the three streets, Elm and Main Street, that come together, they form an obelisk, a symbol for the Antichrist. March 30th, 3:30, 1981, Ronald Reagan steps out of a hotel meeting place and is shot and nearly killed by John Hinckley Jr. And everywhere I go, I always ask, who was the father of John Hinckley Jr.? And some really smart person says John Hinckley Sr. And that's exactly correct. Something that wasn't reported on CBS, ABC, or NBC, or any of the news outlets, was that John Hinckley Sr. was very, very close friends to George Herbert Walker Bush, former head of the CIA, who didn't like Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan didn't like George Bush, and all of a sudden they're running mates now, and George Herbert Walker Bush could have been that president had Reagan died on that day. Now, am I saying George Bush was... I don't know that. I wouldn't say that. But I think a spirit was involved here. I definitely think a spirit was involved here. Remember all these dozens of movies where the aliens are coming down and sometimes they're crashing their UFOs everywhere, like in Starman? Roswell, New Mexico, 1947. Remember, that's a multiple of 11. 1947, supposedly, a UFO crashes. Roswell, New Mexico, 33rd parallel. White Sands, New Mexico, the place of the detonation of the first atomic bomb at the Trinity site. The Trinity site has everything to do with that logo and what it represents. That's on the 33rd parallel. You ever heard of a highway called Highway 666? It's real. It exists. It goes around the 33rd parallel. Phoenix, Arizona. You know what a phoenix is? Phoenix is a bird that is an emblem of the Antichrist. The Antichrist right now is in the pit. He's in hell. He is in flames. The idea is that the beast is going to rise up out of that pit to become the king of this world. He is going to relive. That's what the phoenix is. It's a bird. A bird is like a picture of a spirit in the Bible, who is thrown into the fire, or falls into the fire, or flies into the fire, and out of its ashes is reborn. That's what Phoenix represents. And that town just happens to be on the 33rd parallel. So in, I can't remember what year it was, you have the Phoenix Lights. You have this massive UFO sighting, filmed, photographed, videotaped, eyewitnessed by thousands of people, and no one to this day has a plausible explanation for what this is in Phoenix, Arizona on the 33rd parallel. Nagasaki, Japan is also on the 33rd parallel. You see, they test detonate the bomb in White Sands, New Mexico on the 33rd parallel, and then they use it in Nagasaki, Japan on the 33rd parallel. Let me give you another city that's on the 33rd parallel. She's called Babylon. She was in Iraq. Babylon was being rebuilt by Saddam Hussein, who called himself Nebuchadnezzar II. The fall of Baghdad, this is interesting. The fall of Baghdad took place on April 9th. That's the 99th day of the year. 9 times 11, or 33 times 3. It was on May 1st. You remember this. May 1st, 2004. President George Bush flies out to an aircraft carrier and stands up there and says, "The war's over. We have victory in Iraq." Well, you know, we still have guys over there right now, okay? But he had to do it for some reason on the 121st day of the year, May 1st, okay? Barack Hussein Obama of 2011, on the same day, May 1st, the 121st day of the year, comes out and says, the guy who masterminded 9/11. Yeah, we shot and killed him in Pakistan here a few days ago, and I'm just now announcing it on May 1st, 2011, the 121st day of the year. He did so at the White House. Did you know that Washington, D.C., on the 77th meridian, and Babylon, Iraq, on the 44th meridian, on the other side of the zero meridian, of the prime meridian, they called it, on the other side of the prime meridian, they are exactly 121 degrees apart, 11 times 11. What facilitated all of this war that's going on in the Middle East, Iraq and Afghanistan and Libya and who knows where else? this is going to take place. This was actually prepared for years in advance. In fact, 11 years before September 11th, 2001, there was a military strategy test conceived to prepare forces for a possible war in the Middle East. It involved 33 nations from around the world, and it was called Operation Bright Star. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Then you have the Madrid train bombings, which was on March the 11th. 3-11, which is 33. You have Nazareth, the hometown of Jesus, on the 33rd parallel. We talked earlier about the eagle that landed. Now, the eagle that landed on the moon, Apollo 11, the eagle that landed on the moon, it was the eagle module that was carried there by a rocket module called Columbia. Now, let me tell you what Columbia is. Columbia is another name. It's the Latin name for dove. Think of District of Columbia. Think of Columbine High School. They both have the same derivation of name. It represents the dove. Now, in the Bible, the dove represents the Holy Spirit. We see that clearly. In the occult world, the dove represents a different spirit. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. In the occult world, that's who or what the dove or the Columbine represents. So take a look at this. 33 and a half years after Apollo 11 mission, we have another spaceship called Columbia was destroyed after beginning its descent on the 33rd day of the year, breaking up over the 33rd parallel on its way to landing at runway 33 in Kennedy Space Center. And you have the imagery of a falling star. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? We have another tarot card called the Star card. It features a star circled by seven other planetary bodies. This star is the eighth, just like the beast in the book of Revelation. And notice in this card, we have a dove descending. A Columbia. The symbolism is there. Now I'm going to sum all of this up like this. We have the symbol of the dove. In the Bible, it represents the Holy Spirit. Represents the Spirit of Christ who was crucified and died on the cross for our sins. He was 33 years old. And then we have Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. The Holy Ghost of God, the Holy Spirit of God, will always reveal the true Son of God, Jesus Christ. Mystery Babylon will always conceal her version of that, which is the avatar, which is the beast, which is the man of sin, the son of perdition, the one who is rising up, the king of the bottomless pit, rising up out of that pit, always denoted by an unfinished work like the Tower of Babel or the pyramid on the back of the $1 bill. And I want you to think about the two spirits. Which one is guiding you? Which spirit is guiding you? If you follow the dove that landed upon the shoulder of Jesus when God his Father declared from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," God gives you illumination to believe the Scriptures and believe the Word of God. And one of these days you will know even as ye are known. But if you follow the other spirit, the Babel spirit, the confused spirit, she always conceals. Mystery Babylon always conceals, always hides the beast, the son of perdition. Doesn't want him to be known. She always does that. And one of these days, there is going to come a spirit of such strong delusion upon the earth that people are going to believe. Remember, we talked about this earlier. People are going to believe a lie. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. The Bible says, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." I want to ask you, which one will you believe? The one that reveals or the one that conceals? the one that gives eternal life, or the one who is called the destroyer, who brings nothing but destruction? Which one will you follow? This is Pastor Mike. God bless you. We love you. Bye-bye.